here tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm only going to read one scripture from there, and then we're going to go to John chapter 17, and that's where I'm concentrating tonight, is John chapter 17, as we come down to the last message on this series of the assurance of salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, just one verse. And here tonight, saints, as we finish this series, my message is kept by the power of God. A very important message and title, kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Just one verse here. Listen this very carefully. I'm only going to read it and then we're moving on to John chapter 17. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then reading from John chapter 17. John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and hast known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will also that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." My message here tonight as we close up this series on the assurance of salvation is kept by the power of God. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, who are kept, he's talking about real Christians, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, those who have been washed from their sin, those who are saved by grace, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he actually says about these born again Christians. He said, who are kept by the power of God. This is actually a mark of a real Christian. You cannot be a real Christian without being kept by the power of God. A real Christian is kept by the power of God. You wouldn't be a Christian. You wouldn't continue as a Christian. You wouldn't be separate from the world. You wouldn't gain victory over sin. You wouldn't have power against the devil. You would not be able to walk as a Christian in this world of ours unless you are kept by the power of God. Notice it says here, who are kept by the power of God. It's not by the power of a church, not by the power of Christianity, not by the power of eloquent preaching, not by the power of the knowledge of God's word, not by the numbers of Christians around them. It actually says that a real born-again Christian is kept by the power of God. In other words, this is a power that God has. It is his power. It is his word. It is his action towards a Christian. Why is a Christian kept? Are they kept because they keep themselves? Is it their own power? Is it their own spirituality? Is it their own willpower? Is it their own dedication and their own commitment and the size of their faith? No, it's not. There's only one reason why you're actually kept, and it's because of the power of God. This word power is the word dunamis, which means a spiritual power, an influence from God, a miraculous power that isn't found in you. It is actually, the source of it is in God himself. So we are kept by the power of God, and it says through faith. It is actually through faith. This power of God operates through your faith, the faith of the Son of God that is within you. Without faith, there is no keeping power. Someone who is not being kept shows they do not have faith, or they do not have the faith of the Son of God. You see, this power that keeps you in the world, that keeps you as a Christian, operates by faith or through faith. If there's no faith, this power does not operate. You see, you do not keep yourself. But it is through your faith that a power comes into your life that keeps you in your Christian walk. It is the power of God. How do you make the power of God work in your life? How do you make it operate in every area of your life? It is through faith. If you hinder faith, you hinder the power of God in your life. That's why many faint. That's why many cannot keep walking with God. Because of an issue of faith, they do not believe that God will do what he says he will do. Now please note with me and this what this word kept means. Because we're going to go to John 17 and look at this further about being kept by the power of God. Listen carefully what it means to be kept by the power of God. The word kept there in the Greek is a military term. I love these military terms in the Bible. He didn't pick a picnic party. He picked a soldier's term so we would understand it. It's a military term, and it means to keep by guarding, or in other words, to protect or to guard by situating a garrison of soldiers in around. It means to literally between you and whatever would hinder you being kept is a garrison of soldiers. In front of you is a regiment of soldiers. Right before you is a ordered, structured army that stands between you and your enemies. The word kept means to protect. It means to hem you in, to surround you in around, or to be shut in. It actually means that these soldiers are watching over you. They are guarding you. They have their eye upon you all the time. That's what being kept means. It means someone is keeping their eye upon you. I mean morning. I mean night. I mean in the middle of the night. I mean in the days when you don't feel God. The times you don't feel His power. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God. We are guarded by the power of God. What is it that stands between us and the devil? What is it that surrounds us? What is it that hems us in and guards us? The word also means to protect in advance. Or before any situation arises, before any enemy approaches you, before any danger comes knocking on your door, God literally keeps you. In other words, it's like putting a regiment of soldiers around you before there's any enemy on the horizon. God knows all things. God knows everything. God knows the future. God knows everything about your life. So what does He do? He guards you before there's even a need to guard you. You may say, I'm not in danger. He is guarding you tonight. You may say, I don't have any enemies tonight. Well, you're very strange, I want to assure you. But before you ever see the enemy, you could say, I'm enjoying my salvation. I'm enjoying the blessing of God. I've got no dangerous problem. I want to tell you, you're kept by the power of God tonight. There's not one situation, hear me tonight, there's not one situation you're going to face this year. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, in the workplace, in your family, to do with you spiritually, in your own mind, in your own emotions. No attack of the devil, no trial, no circumstance of life, no sudden, shocking situation that God isn't now tonight preparing for. You don't see it, you don't know it, you're not even preparing yourself for it. And yet the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. In other words, this guarding is way before there's a problem. It's a precautionary measure. In other words, God says, I have literally set a guard around you, behind you, in front of you, to your left, and to your right. I have literally surrounded you. I have garrisoned you in. I have protected you with my power. Notice this. How are you guarded? By the dunamis of God, by the working of God, by the supernatural element of God. That's what is surrounding you tonight if your faith is in Jesus Christ. That means to protect you and to surround you. And it means to do it continually. Not only in the trials of life, not only in the temptations. It is literally saying here, you who are kept continually by the power of God, all the time, every day, all through your walk, in the good times, in the bad times, when you can see it and when you cannot see, when you feel it and when you do not feel it, we are kept by the power of God through faith. It doesn't mean that you have a large faith. It's talking about a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faith that has saved you. This is a faith that makes you a Christian. This is a faith that indwells you. It is the faith of Jesus Christ dwelling within you. And you know what? We are kept by the power of God through this faith. If you find faith in your heart, if you believe in Christ, if you believe in the blood, if your faith is in Him and in His finished work, I want to tell you, you're kept by the power of God tonight. This word kept, I love this word. I want to preach on this word. I want you to hide this word in your heart because it's all through scripture. This word kept also means to block every way of escape. In other words, like a besieged city. If you had a regiment, a garrison of soldiers round the city, and you're in the city, but you're trying to escape. You can't escape because you've got a whole garrison looking in on the city, stopping you from escaping. In other words, these soldiers have locked you in. This being kept by the power of God is keeping you in, keeping you in your position, keeping you in your place, keeping you in the right state of mind. There is a being kept by the power of God, which hedges you in. It keeps you back. It won't allow you to go beyond certain boundaries. So we see that this garrison of soldiers are stopping you from escaping, from being in the right place at the right time to do the right thing. That is them looking inward, keeping you in. But there's also another way to look at this. It's protection from the enemy. Or to stop hostile invasion. Do you realize you're kept by the power of God? Do you realize if the devil could, he would kill you, he would take from you, he would destroy you. You're only here, I assure you tonight, some of yous would be dead because you'll have committed suicide. Some of yous will have taken an overdose. Some of yous will have been killed in a car accident. I'm sure I would have been. Some of yous would have destroyed yourself through some form of sin. But you know what the Bible says? You're kept by the power of God through faith. In other words, you're protected from every enemy. You're protected from every hostile invasion from the outside. Any enemy on the outside trying to get in. You're not protected by your own strength. It's not your power to bind and loose. It's not your ability to discern the enemy. Do you know what? Tonight, you're protected from the devil. Yes. You're guarded from the devil. You're delivered from the wiles of Satan. You know why? You're kept by the power of God. This is to keep you in and to keep the devil out. The power of God is operating. There's a dynamic, supernatural power involved in keeping you every day. You don't feel it. You don't see it with the naked eye. You don't hear the sound of it. You may not feel the touch of angels' wings tonight. You may not hear the ruffling of the feathers of the angels of heaven. But I assure you, the power of God keeps those who have a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me in 1 Peter 1 and 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. Faith is vital. You're saved by faith. In other words, it's not your works. It's not of your power. It's not of your ability. Nobody here in this room would say, I'm saved by my works. I'm saved by my efforts. All of your works could not save you or forgive you or to wash you from your sin. You're saved by faith alone. In other words, you believed in Christ. You put your confidence in Christ. You said, I accept your finished work. Do you know how you're kept in your Christian walk? Some of you are scared of falling away. Some of you are scared, I cannot keep this. Well, welcome to the club. You cannot keep it of your own self. And the Bible says you're not only saved by faith, you're kept by faith. In other words, God keeps you. He keeps you walking in this world. He keeps you in white garments. He keeps your eyes on Jesus. How does he do it? By his own power. It's not of your works. It's not of anything of your own self. You simply look to God. Why can't we believe this like we do for salvation? How did you get saved? I looked to Jesus, his blood, and I knew I'm saved. I believed on him. I received his forgiveness. Why don't we do this with being kept as a Christian? Now after being saved, we go, now I've got to keep myself. Now I've got to be careful. Now I've got to do everything. And I know, of course we do all those things. But saints, if you think that all of your good Christianity that can keep you, can save you from the devil, can keep you walking holy, can keep you alive unto God, you're greatly mistaken. Here tonight in this room, you need to stop. You need to look heavenward. You need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is Him who has all the power to keep you. It's Christ who keeps you. He not only saved you, He keeps you. How does it operate? It operates by faith alone. You believe He saved you. You believe you've received this. But saints, the keeping power of God operates by faith as well. We are kept by the power of God. It's not me looking, thinking, can I make it through? I am kept by the power of God. It is a power greater than anything, greater than sin, greater than the devil, greater than darkness, greater than confusion, greater than the lies of hell, greater than the power of this world. There is nothing as great as the power of God. And you know what? As I simply believe in Him, I don't go back to works or my own righteousness. I don't get sanctified by my own works. What do? I look heavenward. I trust Him. Since you believe His word, He says, I'll keep you. You say, okay, I'll believe in you. I'll actually trust you to keep me, to protect me, to keep me in the right place so I don't escape, or to preserve me from an invasion of the enemy. Since when we go to John chapter 17, if you can turn there, John 17, we also see that we are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. It says there at the beginning of John chapter 17 and verse 2, and this is Christ praying to the Father. Christ is praying to the Father. And He says in verse 2, as Thou hast given Him power. This is a different power. This isn't dunamis. This is exousia, which means the authority or the right. Now He says here to the Father, as Thou hast given me power or authority or the right over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Notice here that eternal life, being saved, having everlasting life, is something that Christ gives to an individual. He has the authority to do this. He has the power to do this. Eternal life isn't something you create. It is actually something that Christ gives to you. And eternal life, when we look at the writings of John, the term eternal life or everlasting life or the assurance of eternal salvation is actually all through John's writings. In his gospel, it is constantly there. Listen to John chapter 3 and verse 16 that we all know so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Since this everlasting life is compared to perishing. Either you're going to perish eternally, or you're saved eternally. Right. Eternal life is the gift of God. In John chapter 10 verse 10, it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. All through John's gospel, he speaks about eternal life. He speaks about this gift of eternal life. He speaks about Christ giving or procuring this gift of eternal life. It's Christ's work. It's within His possession. He alone can give it. You don't have half eternal life. Either He's given it to you or He hasn't given it to you. Either you experience it or you don't experience it. But saints, eternal life is not a theological concept. It is far more than that. It is the life of God. That's what eternal life is. I do not want a theology of eternal life. I want to experience eternal life. It is the life of God. In 1 John, we actually read again, John writing in his epistles, I have written this unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. So we see the apostle John, he is absolutely caught up all all of his writings in the Gospels and in the letters are caught up with this thing called eternal life. The assurance of eternal life. Knowing that you have eternal life. Knowing that it's the real eternal life that comes from God. That's why he has written everything that he has written. That you might know. That it might be settled in your life. But let me ask you here tonight, what is eternal life? What is eternal life? You see, you might think, well, that's basic. I know what eternal life is. I don't think we do. I really don't think we understand eternal life. And most of what I hear people talk about, they have no concept of eternal life. It's so simple. We talk about it. We pray about it. We discuss it. We listen to it. We say amen to it. But do we really know what eternal life is? You see, there's many in the church, they think it's a doctrine. The doctrine of eternal life. They make a man-made doctrine out of it. Once saved, always saved. Our eternal security. And they think if they can doctrinally believe this, or understand it in their mind, they think they have eternal life, that they cannot lose eternal life. They think that this security, the enjoyment of life, is attached to their mind, their brain, understanding certain doctrines. But I want to tell you, that is not true. Neither is it a get-out-of-jail-free card. Others in the church think, I've got eternal life. That means I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need to worry about my lifestyle. I don't need to worry whether I'm living right or living wrong. I have eternal life. In other words, it's something they carry with them. There's no life in it. There's no power in it. There's no understanding of eternal life. And yet they say, I have eternal life. If you speak to them, if you watch them, if you walk with them, you're going to find out there's no life in that person. There's no actual life of God. You talk with them and it's spiritual death. Or you talk about the Bible, they do not believe it. There's no life in them. There's no abundant life. There's no eternal life. They have actually brought the term eternal life down into the muck and the mire of man's religion, and they have destroyed the power of it. They don't understand eternal life. And since you need to be so careful, do you think eternal life is merely a thing? Then you don't understand eternal life. It is far more wonderful than that. It is so real. It is a living thing. It's not called eternal life for nothing. It is life. This thing that's eternal is the gift of life. It is another life. It is a heavenly life. It is a spiritual life. It is not a man-made religion. And neither is it just an experience. Some people think if they have an experience, if they can just experience something, or feel a certain way, or act a certain way, then they have eternal life. All of these things come short of what eternal life is. And saints, what assurance of salvation is. Look with me in John chapter 17 verse 3, what it says. And it says this, this is life eternal. Can I exhort you tonight to learn this scripture? None of you should be in this church that don't know this scripture. I ought to, this weekend at the camp, be able to ask any one of you, please stand up and quote this scripture. I want the verse. I want it word perfect. I ought to be able to. You know what? Not as a mental exercise. This is for your encouragement. If you hide this scripture within your heart, you'll be saved from many difficulties. What does it say? Here is God's definition. Christ's definition, the Holy Spirit's definition of what is eternal life. If ever I ask you, what is eternal life? I expect this answer. This is the only right answer. There can't be a right answer unless you quote this, unless you understand it. Look with me what it says in verse 3. And this is life eternal. That they, who is the they? It's the born again Christian. Those who believe on Jesus Christ. It says this is eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God. Notice with me here, what is eternal life? It is knowing God the Father. This is eternal life. It's not a thing. It's not just something God gives to you. It is actually being brought into a relationship with God the Father. What is eternal life? Is it the length of your existence? No. No, it's not. Is it something you experience? No. Is it a doctrine that you try to believe? No. It's far more than that. It is simply this, that you might know. What is eternal life? That you might know the only true God. In other words, God has opened his heart towards you, that you might know him. And your heart is opened up and you go, I know God the Father. I know him. And he goes further here and he says, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you tonight, do you know the Father? Do you know the Father who Christ has come to reveal? Do you know the Son whom the Father has sent unto you? That word know is an intimate term. It is an experience. It is a fellowship. It is a relationship. It is that I might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. Saints, forget all the concepts of eternal life. I know I've got eternal life. Why? I know the Father and I know the Son. I have an intimate experience with them. People worry about eternal security. If you walk with this Christ, I don't care if you're a Calvinist or an Arminianist, if you really walk with the Father and really walk with the Son and really have an intimate knowledge of them, I don't care what your doctrine is. You know what? You're going to know, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. This eternal life dwells in me. How do you know you've got eternal life? I know the Father and I know the Son. Who is the Father? He sent the Son. Who is the Son? He reveals the Father. And you know what? I know them. At the beginning of Genesis, this word know is used between Adam and Eve. It says, Adam knew Eve. And she conceived and bare a child. You see, the word know is a very intimate term between a man and a woman in a covenant relationship that's utterly unique. It is a relationship between them that's very intimate, private, personal, that's very special, that's very unique. And you know what the Bible has done? The Bible has taken that term to use of our relationship with God himself. That I might know thee, the Father. That I might be in a relationship with you, a covenant relationship with you. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Saints, in John chapter 17, there's a term that we read of seven times. And it's the word given. The given. In John 17, Christ is praying. And in this prayer, he is talking about those who the Father has given to the Son. He is speaking about a very specific group of people. We read about it in verse 2, twice in verse 6, then in verse 9, verse 11, verse 12, and verse 24, Christ is praying to the Father. And what he's saying to the Father is, Father, I'm praying for those who you have given to me. What does that term mean? It means that the Father has granted you to the Son. He has committed you to the Son. Listen to me carefully. We're talking about being kept by the power of God. We're saying that the Father actually gave you to the Son as a gift. He actually handed him over to the Son. He said to the Son, I'm giving you Jer. I'm giving you Candace. I'm giving you Paul. I'm committing them into your hands. I expect you to be their shepherd, their high priest, their prophet, their teacher, their guide. I actually expect you to keep them by the power of God, to watch over them, to garrison them, to watch over them in a protective sense. God the Father has entrusted you into the hands of the Son, and He has commissioned the Son not only to save you by grace, through faith, through the shedding of His blood, not only that He would literally lay down His life on the cross and bear your sin and take your sin upon Him and to die in your place and to suffer your judgment and to be placed there to experience the wrath that you deserved. Saints, we believe all this. If we're born again, we believe that when Christ died on the cross, He took my place. He suffered in my place. I should have suffered for that. He'd done all of that for me. But what about being kept? Do we realize that He not only took on the responsibility of suffering for us, of dying in our place, of bearing away our sin? Literally all of our sin was laid upon Him. But do we realize as well that this same Christ literally undertook the responsibility to keep you and to preserve you? John 17 is all about it. It is actually a prayer about you. It's a prayer to the Father by the Son, speaking about His commitment to those. Seven times He mentions it. It's always those that You have given me, those that You have given me, those that You have given me. This absolutely fills the prayer of Jesus Christ. Do you know what He's praying tonight at the right hand of the Father? Father, I'm praying for those that You gave me. Saints, I want to hear for a few moments. You'll say, a few moments, you've almost preached yourself out. Well, give me a few more moments here. As I show you in John 17, that Christ is not only your great high priest, your prophet. He's not only all your king. He's not only all of these things, but He has actually undertaken to keep you. What you have to do is believe it. Here tonight in this room, you must believe the saints of God. Don't let your faith be dead. Don't let it be dormant. Don't let unbelief come into your mind. Don't let fears enter your heart. I'm exhorting you tonight, believe the word of God. I'm asking you to believe that you're kept by Christ, by the power of God, through faith. It's not of you to keep yourself. It's not laid on your shoulder. I could not keep myself. I don't have the power to do that. I don't have the ability, no more than I could save myself. You see, it's very dangerous when a Christian thinks, God saved me, Christ saved me, now I've got to keep myself. That is very dangerous. Right. Yes, saints, we keep ourselves in the love of God. Yes, we keep ourselves in the word of God. Yes, we keep ourselves from the world. Yes, we keep ourselves from the devil. We do all of this. But never forget, it's by faith I actually entrust my soul into the hands of the bishop and the shepherd of my soul. Do you realize He's my shepherd? That He has been given the responsibility to look after me, to watch over me. Saints, let's very quickly, here if we can, point out a few things from John chapter 17 about this being kept. Look with me at verse 6 first of all. Kept by His name. And within this I want to include not only kept by His name, kept by His word, and kept by His prayer. And you'll see why this goes together. Verse 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Notice here that Christ says He has manifested the name of the Father to the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. This is the mark of a real Christian. Jesus Christ reveals the name of the Father unto you. This is what makes you a Christian. This is what brings you out of the world. All that the Father has given to the Son, what does Christ do? He manifests, He shines forth the name of the Father. He is here to reveal the Father. Why do you think Christ came? Just to bring you to the Son? No. Christ has actually come to save you, to bring you into relationship with the Father. You know, when I was a child, when I was 8 years old, I entered into a phase. Now I know it was the devil. I didn't know it then. But the devil came to me and began to lie to me. And I started to think in my little young mind, I don't want to go to heaven. You know why? As I thought of heaven, it was a cold place. God is in heaven. Christ is here with me. I love Jesus. I enjoy Christ. He was my life. He was my everything. He was my best friend. He's the one I talked to last thing at night and first thing in the morning. He was everything to me. And Jesus dwelt with me. But you know what? In my little thinking, the devil come land. And every time I thought of God the Father and God in heaven and heaven itself, all I could feel is a terrible distant coldness. I had no relationship with the Father, but I did know the Son, and I loved the Son, and He loved me, and He talked to me, and He revealed Himself to me. And for 3 months, I'll never forget it, I'm 8 years old, and one morning we left the house, and I'm going to Sunday school, and my mommy had my hand, and we're walking off to go to Sunday school, and I suddenly went, if I'm born again, born of God, it means I'll go to heaven. And I don't want to go to heaven. So as of this morning, I make a decision that I'm no longer born again. I decide here this morning, I am no longer saved. And I walk down the road with my mommy. You pray for these kids, because don't tell me the kids don't face a real devil. They do. They do. But you know what? There's a real Christ. I'm here to tell you. There, we are kept by the power of God. Look at that little child's mind and how the devil comes in so subtly. And for 3 months, I was like that. 3 entire months, nobody knew. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't share with anyone. I didn't show it outwardly. I was the same young child, the very same child. And you know what? I can remember walking down the road with mommy to church, and in the pride of my heart, I go, she doesn't know. And nobody in the church knows that I've stopped being a Christian. Nobody knows. And I've decided this. And it's all hidden. And it's all secret. And it's all in my heart. And they cannot see it because it's here within me. Do you know what happened? 3 months I went on like this. And one night I went to bed as normal. And in the middle of my sleep that night, the Lord Jesus Christ came to me in a dream that night. He didn't come physically. He didn't come visibly. It was in a dream. I didn't see His face. I didn't see that. But I knew Christ came to me. And as He approached me, and I'm 8 years old. I'm dyslexic. I can't read. I can't even hardly write my name or spell my name. I'm just a backward kid. But Christ came to me that night. And He stretched out His hand. And He says, come, I want to show you the Father. That's all He simply said. And He revealed to me. He manifested the name of the Father to me that night. And you know what He said to me? He said, I didn't know these scriptures. There in that dream, He said, don't you know the Father is just like me? And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you see the Father, you will see me. And I can remember in this dream, as He is talking to me, I go, oh, why didn't you tell me? I don't mind then. If God the Father is just like you, then I love Him just like I love you. Saints, in one night, in one moment of time, there was a manifesting of the name of the Father. What do I mean, the name of the Father? You see, name denotes character. If you know a man's name, you know their character. You know who they are. You know something about them. And in the Bible, the name of the Lord, that's why there's many names of God in the Old Testament. You have all the Jehovah names of God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. I love that name. You see, God said, my name is Jehovah Nissi. In other words, His character is He raises up a standard. When the devil comes in against you like a flood, the Lord, it's His character. It's who He is. He reveals Himself who He is. He always raises up a standard against the attack of the enemy. Since the Bible actually says here, and listen what else Christ says in verse 6, and he says, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." And verse 11, "I now am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name." Notice that it says, "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are one." Since Christ is praying here to the Father, never call a man Holy Father. There isn't such a person on the earth. It's what Christ calls his Heavenly Father. Holy Father. We've got a song we sing here in the church. Holy Father. We're not speaking to a man or a pope or any bishop or cardinal. We are speaking directly unto the Father in heaven. And notice what Christ asked the Father to do. "Keep through thine own name those whom you have given to me." Father, you have given these to me as a gift so that I will keep them. But I'm praying that you keep them by your name. Do you know what that shows me? The name of God keeps you. It guards you. It protects you. In other words, when Christ reveals who the Father is, the character, he is a God of love. He is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. You know what? If you stub your foot in your sin, he'll pick you up in his mercy and grace. He won't cast you away. He'll pick you up again. He's a God of mercy. Saints, when you know the character of God, when you know his name, when Christ begins to reveal who God is to you, he's not just someone who died on a cross. He is the God who keeps you. He is the God of power. He is the keeper of your soul. He began a good work within you, and he is going to keep it. Since there's a power in knowing the name of God. Yes. There's a power. Remember what we said. Israel knew the works of God.
Yes.
Moses knew the ways of God. How did he know the ways of God? How did he know this way, this character? How God walks and works. How God thinks. You know what? God revealed himself unto Moses. Moses actually prayed and he says, "I want to know you." Listen to me tonight. I want to know you. What is knowing him? It's to have eternal life. To have eternal life is that you know this God. You know who he is. How did God reveal himself unto Moses? Do you remember? Moses was taken and hidden in the cleft of the rock. There was a cleft in that rock. Who's the cleft of the rock? It's Jesus Christ. And God actually took Moses and hid him in the cleft of the rock. And it says, then God passed by. And you know what he's saying as he passes by? Look at him. Moses is hid in Christ. He is hid in the cleft of the rock. Because you cannot look in the Father. You cannot know the Father unless it's through the Son. So there's Moses in the cleft of the rock. And as God passes by, he says, "I am the gracious God. I am long-suffering. I am a merciful God. I am a good God. I am a kind God." Do you know what he was doing to Moses? He said, "In Christ, I'll reveal my name. I'll reveal my character. I'll reveal my very heart unto you. You will know who I am." Saints, that's what happens in a marriage relationship. You come to know the other person, either for better or for worse. You come to know that person. Some of yous can laugh at that. Some of yous may want to cry. But there is a coming to know that person. I assure you, when you're inside a marriage, you know that person in a way you could never have known them outside the marriage. Inside that bond, there's a revealing of that person. And it's the same here, saints. There's a revealing of God himself. We're also kept by the Word of God. It says time and time again in these verses that these you have given me, they've kept your Word. I have given unto them my Word. The Word of God. Notice what it says in verse 8. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. Have you received the words that the Father gave to the Son. Do you realize the Father has given to Christ all his words? He has spoken words to Christ that Christ now wants to deliver to you from the Father. Do you see the importance of the Word of God? If you neglect this book, it affects being kept by the power of God. You want to know why you struggle? You don't even know his promise to keep you. You're not even mixing faith with the Word of God. You haven't searched out the Bible. Saints, what is the assurance of salvation? You have searched, you have studied, you have tested to come to a place of faith. That doesn't only mean searching yourself and saying, am I a real Christian? Oh no. Oh no, it's more than that. To search out, to have assurance, is that you've searched the Word of God. You've studied the Word of God. Father, do you promise to keep me? Are you able to keep me? Will you keep me? Am I a real sheep? What have you promised to do with me? What have you said you're going to do with my life? What have you committed yourself to do with me? Saints, many have not searched out the words of eternal life, but a real Christian is someone. They have received the Word of God. They have come to know the Word of God. They know God the Father through the words that Christ brings to them. In verse 13 it says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Saints, we're kept by his name. We're kept by his word. He has literally put his word in you. Do you realize the importance of God's word? Unless God's word's in you, you won't live holy. Amen. You won't overcome the world. You won't know God the Father. You can't make the right decision. What does he do to keep you by his name? He puts his word within you. He puts the knowledge of himself within you. And also, he prays for you. John chapter 17 is a prayer for you in this room. He is praying for you. How are you kept? How does this power of God work? Yes, it works through knowing his name. It operates through his word being given unto you and dwelling in you. But also it operates through him praying for you. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. This will give some people a problem. You see, Christ says, I'm praying for those that you gave me, Father. I'm not praying for the world. I'm not praying for all sinners. This is shocking, you know. This is shocking, but it's in the Bible. He says, I'm not praying for everybody, but I'm specifically praying for those that you have given me. For they are thine. You're not his when you love the things of this world. There's a certain group of people who he is praying for. He's praying for those that have been given unto him by the Father. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 20, neither pray for these alone, talking about the 12 disciples. He says, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Who's Christ praying for? Those who have been given to him by the Father. Who's he praying for? All those who believe the gospel. In whatever generation, in whatever country, all those who believe, Christ is praying for them. Do you realize Christ is praying for you in a way that he's not praying for a sinner? He doesn't just pray for the entire world all the same. He prays for you by name. He prays for you specifically. He prays for you saying, Father, you said you'd keep them. Father, you said you'd keep them through your name. Father, you said. Can you imagine Christ praying for you? Can you imagine the Father saying no? Can you imagine Christ praying in unbelief here tonight? Saints, you are kept by a revelation of the name of the Father. You're kept by the Word of God. You're kept by the prayers of Christ. But secondly, you say, that's an awful lot of stuff for one point. It is, it is. Only getting going. You're here to 12 o'clock tonight. Secondly, kept from the world. Not only kept by his name, by his word, and by his prayers, but you're kept from the world. You're not kept only by something, but in John 17, we're told three things we're kept from. We're kept from the world. We're kept from being lost, and we're kept from the devil. And I assure you, you want to believe this here tonight. You've got to believe. You're kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. Through faith. If you don't know this, how do you believe it? How is this going to operate in your life? If you don't know it, you'll always be scared that this world's going to overcome you. You're going to be scared that you get lost along the way, even though Christ said he hasn't lost any. You're always going to be scared that the devil is going to overwhelm you with temptations or hellish lies. You're going to be scared. But saints, when you know what the Bible says, when you know the character of God and the prayers of Christ and the promises of the Bible, and your faith arises, I mean a knowledge of him, not a dead faith, not a belief in some doctrine, but you actually know him. Here, secondly, kept from the world. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I'm not in the world any longer, but they are. Or verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. All through John 17, Christ says, I'm not going to take them out of the world. Father, I'm not praying that they be removed from the world. I'm actually saying, Father, will you keep them in the world?
Yes.
Look at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you realize Christ is praying to the Father and saying, Father, I am praying that you guard them, that you surround them, that you protect them from this world. Do you realize the world is your enemy? The world, this present world, what do I mean by the world? It is this ordered system of this present world. It is something well arranged, set in order. It's the world affairs around us. It's the organized activities of life that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It could be in your workplace. It could be in the realms of sin. It could be education. That is the world. It is the organized activities of life, the dominating ordered system of this world, the world of the natural man, of the first birth, the world apart from God and in opposition to God. The wisdom of this world's different than the wisdom of God. It is utterly contrary one towards the other. Since the Bible says in John 17 that the Father will keep you from this world.
Yes.
If you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy of God. The Bible says don't be conformed to this world. It says that if you're a friend of this world, then you're an enemy of God. You cannot be in this world, of this world, live for this world, be conformed by this world, and yet say you love God and that the love of God is in you. If you love this world, if you love this system, if it's molding how you think about everything, then I want to tell you the love of God is not in you. This name of God is not in you. You're either of this world or you're of the kingdom of God. Since the Bible teaches that a real Christian, Christ is praying to the Father that you be kept by the power of God from the world. It's not only that you're to come out from the world. You're not only commanded not to be in that world and of that world. I want to here remind you tonight that there's something greater than that. You're kept from this world by the power of God. God's power, his dunamis, keeps you. You feel like you want to be drawn into this world. You feel like this world is conforming you to how it thinks. You feel like you feel all the power of the world pressing on you, drawing you, saying, look what you're missing out on. How do I get kept? By the power of God through faith. My faith is in God and his power comes down. And I say, I'm not going into that world. Thirdly, kept from being lost. Kept from being lost. Not only kept from the world, kept from being lost. Verse 12, while I was with Matthew, and Peter and Thomas. Do you realize tonight Peter wouldn't have made it? Do you realize that? Do you understand that Peter, the apostle of Pentecost, would never have made it but for the power of God? Yes. If he would have been left on that night denying Christ three times in the darkness of the night, warming his hands by the fire of sinners and blasphemers. You know, he followed afar off at first. He followed afar off. Then he started to join and to gather with sinners. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people in the wrong fellowship. There he is at their fire, not the fire of God, the fire of sinners. And he's warm in his hands and he's standing with them. And before long, he's denying Christ. Saints, if it wasn't for the power of God, you'd all deny him. You wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't have made it through. But you know what Christ said? He said, I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed that your faith doesn't fail. Do you know why? If your faith fails, it's all over. Oh, you can fail. Oh, you may have sinned. You may have denied Jesus like Peter did. You may have done it and your heart's broken over your sin. But you know what? Is your faith still there? Does your faith rise up and say, oh God, forgive me. Lord, wash me again. Keep me from these things. You see, that is being kept. Being kept. It says in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. I kept Peter, I kept Matthew, I kept Thomas, I kept young John. Do you realize that Christ kept them by the name of the Father? You're kept the same way they're kept. They were kept by the power of God through his name. So are you. The word of God that he has given to them keeps them, sanctifies them, makes them holy, makes them think differently and act differently and speak differently and walk differently. It is a different lifestyle altogether. We're kept from being lost. Look what it says. I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. He said it twice here. Twice he said, I kept them. And none of them is lost. Do you realize the key to not being lost? What do I mean lost? Eternally lost. Damned to hell. Lost in your sin. Perishing without forgiveness. Rejected by God himself. Without hope. Without God. Without redemption. Eternity without the love of God. Eternity without the comfort of God in heaven. Saints, that's what it means to be lost. What is the cure for this? It's being kept by the power of God. Do you know that it's the power of God keeps you? Do you know it's him that guards you and sometimes stops us getting away when weakness and feelings and thoughts come? Do you realize there's a greater power than you? You're not keeping yourself. You're not here because you decided that. There is a power that actually keeps you when you feel weak, when you're tempted, when you're distraught. And it says, I have kept them and none of them is lost. I didn't lose Matthew. I didn't lose Peter. I didn't lose John. I didn't lose Bartholomew. I didn't lose any of these men. I actually kept them. I kept them. That's why they're not lost. Do you realize that night when they all scattered, they all ran, they all turned their back? All of them fell asleep that night. Instead of praying, all of them fell into temptation because they didn't pray. If they prayed, they would have been in the Spirit. They would have been ready. But you know what? They're real Christians. They're real believers. They fell asleep. They neglected to pray. Their lives were left wide open to the assault of the devil. And the devil came knocking. And you know what? Christ had prayed for them that they be not lost. He was there to help them and preserve them. And you know what Christ says? In John 17, I haven't lost any of them. Listen to the next statement, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Notice here, he was one of the 12, but he's not one of the kept. He's not one of the kept. He isn't one of those that the Father gave to the Son. He isn't there. Or he wouldn't have been in this condition. Do you realize Judas was an apostle? He's a preacher. He's a chosen vessel. He is a minister of Christ. He listened to Christ. He saw the miracles. He may have cast out demons. He may have healed the sick. He certainly preached the gospel. He went out with the 70. He went out with the 12. He traveled with the person of Christ. And yet he was not one of the kept ones. Christ actually says, I kept all those that you gave me to keep. Not one of them is lost. But Judas is lost. Judas is. Judas didn't have faith. Judas didn't have holiness. Judas had the devil indwelling him. Judas had betrayal. Judas would throw away his Christ for 30 bits of silver. That's what Judas is. Don't tell me Judas was born again. He wasn't. He didn't have faith. He didn't believe from the beginning. He had no shield of faith, and the devil was in him. And you know what Christ actually said him? He says, one of you have been a devil from the very beginning. He's actually called the son of perdition. In other words, the son of damnation. Can you imagine apostle? And the name given to him by Christ and God is, you are the son of damnation. You are the son of destruction. You are a child of the devil. You are a child destined to burn in hell for all eternity. It didn't have to be that way. You chose it. I warned you. I spoke to you. I showed you love. I showed you my word. I preached to you. I encouraged you. I washed your feet. I carried your burdens. I done all for you. But you know what? You're a child of hell. You're a child on its way to hell for all eternity. And you know what he said? That the scriptures might be fulfilled. Do you realize when someone rejects Christ, they're fulfilling the scripture? Do you realize when someone receives the love of God and they turn and fall away, they reject the truth, they disobey God, even that's fulfilling scripture. Nothing is lost. Sure, God predicted it. You won't receive my truth, you'll receive a lie. You don't want to walk in holiness, then you'll walk in hellish sin. You don't want to go to heaven, then you will go to hell. Saints, I'm talking about being kept from being lost. None of those disciples were lost apart from Judas, because he was a child of hell. But the other 11 were kept by the power of God. Listen to what it says in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me. Notice that statement again. John 10 is filled with the same statement. Those that you gave to me, those that you gave to me. He's talking about those given to the Son by the Father. And he says, those that you gave to me, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. In John 10, he says, they're in my hand, and no man can pluck them out. He also says, they're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. Do you realize, as a believer, as a sheep, as a child of God, you're literally held within the hand of God. You will not perish. You have eternal life. Nobody can take you out of the hand of the Father. Saints, don't diminish this by starting to argue, oh, but you can slip out between his fingers. We have told you, we have taught, we believe in falling from the faith, but that scripture isn't talking about it. Why not revel in the security of it and the enjoyment of it? Do you know what? I'm in the Father's hand and I'm in the Son's hand, and both of them, you can't get out of that. You are being kept by the power of God. Why? So you're not lost eternally. He doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to eternally be destroyed. He's got no desire that any man die in his sins or perish. If you go to hell, you choose that way. If you decide to live a sinful life, that isn't God's fault. That is your fault. Last of all, let me finish here. Kept from the devil. Kept from the world. By the power of God. Kept from being lost by the power of God, but kept from the devil. Last of all, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you notice Christ doesn't say, I want to take them out of the world and protect them? No. You're going to live in the world and be protected. You're going to face temptations. You're going to be faced with trials. Things are going to break your heart. Thoughts are going to come to your mind. Blasphemous thoughts. Thoughts of betrayal and of rejection. But he's going to keep you in the midst of all this. Do you realize what a miracle you are tonight? Do you realize what a miracle I am? I'm only here by the power of God. I am kept by the power of God. Why haven't I compromised the preaching of the gospel? Why haven't I followed the way of sinners and blasphemers and apostate preachers? It's by God's grace. He has kept me. He has preserved me. I haven't bowed the knee and kissed Balaam. You know why? He has kept me thus far. Saints, in verse 15 it finishes by saying to keep them. Christ is praying to the Father, keep them from the evil. That term, the evil, is the evil one. It's not talking about a thing or from evil things. Christ is actually praying to the Father, saying, Father, all those that you have given me, I am now praying unto you that you keep them, you guard them, you surround them, you preserve them from the evil one. Who's the evil one? He's the devil. He's Satan. He is the buffeter, the sifter, the attacker, the tempter. He is evil. He is wicked. He's the one who forges lies against you, who plants thoughts in your minds, who tries to draw you to desert your God. That's who he is. And yet here's Christ praying to the Father and saying, Father, keep them from the devil. Guard them from the devil. Surround them from the devil. Don't let them be left in the hand of the devil. You so surround them that the devil would have to go through you, the living God, to get to them. Saints, that is a real Christian. I am in Christ. I am hidden in Christ. I am surrounded by Christ. His salvation, his redemption, his holiness, his perfection. It says in 1 John chapter 5, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, doesn't habitually sin, doesn't live in drunkenness, doesn't live in sexual immorality, doesn't live as a liar, doesn't live as a thief, doesn't live as a blasphemer. He does not live in sin continually or habitually. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one doesn't touch him. Do you remember what this means? We preached about this before. You keep yourself. Why? Because I'm being kept. I'm being kept by God. But I'm also going to keep myself from the devil. I'm not going to put my way in the sin. You go drink in a bar, you're walking into the hands of the devil. You do things in active disobedience to God, you're allowing the devil to attack your assurance of salvation. He will come in like a flood. He'll steal the promises of God from you. He'll steal the assurance. He'll fill your mind with lies. But what does it say in 1 John 5? It says, we keep ourselves, we guard ourselves from the evil one, and that wicked one touches us not. The word touches there means to attach to cling to hold to not let go of you, to have a firm grip on you, to fasten onto you. You know what the Bible says? When you're kept, the devil cannot fasten onto you, never mind indwell you. Christians cannot be indwelt by the devil. It's utterly impossible. The Bible actually teaches that when you keep yourself and guard yourself under the power of God, the devil can't even lay a hand on you. Or he may try to harm you. He may come against you. But he can't get a firm grip of your arm. You can shake him loose. Saints, tonight, I'm simply exhorting you as we finish this series. I'm kept by the power of God through faith unto the day of salvation. There's a day coming when there's no more sin nature. There's no more testing. There's no more fears. There's no more difficulties. There's no more devil. No more flesh. No more thoughts. No more feelings. No more trials of faith. Since there is a day when stored up for us, as it says in 1 Peter 1 and 5, it says, kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. What is that salvation to be revealed in the last day? It's a home run. You're home, you made it. You walk with Christ. You've been kept by the power of God. Saints, study the Word of God tonight. Study the Word of God this week to bring yourself to a place of faith and of confidence and persuasion. I am not only saved by faith, I'm kept by the power of God. Settle it in your heart tonight. You're not keeping yourself, you're kept by the power of God. Reach out to Him. Look to Jesus Christ, not only as a Savior from sin, but a keeper from sin, a keeper from the world. He'll keep you from the devil. He'll keep you from your own thoughts and imagination. There is a power in this if you can but reach out and touch Him and believe Him tonight. Let's stand together. Father, we praise You. Oh, let's just rejoice in Him. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him for His power and His goodness and His love and His mercy. You don't deserve anything. It's